All right. Welcome. And welcome. This is a Monday, February 26th, and it's our scheduled regular village board meeting. So I'd like to have the village clerk take the roll call, please.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Excuse me. Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan. Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Adusi.
Here. Okay, I can't ask you all stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, very good. Nobody's here. This might be a first. All right, we have no public comment unless some of the students would like to say any words. Oh, look at Gabe Bella. Would you like to? We're just starting public comment.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, real good. We're just asking if the students. I'm teasing you guys. You all for Fenwick? Oh, okay. Is this a student project? Okay, real good. Well, if you have any questions, you just let me know because we want to help you guys pass the course. Okay. Alrighty. With that, we have no citizens' comments, so we'll go ahead and on the elected official comments and announcements. So, Bob, maybe you'll start. Do you mind?
I really have nothing, so thank you.
Yep. Okay. Ken?
I also have nothing. Hope everyone's enjoying this wonderful weather we're having. So, but other than that, I have nothing else to say.
Until Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Right. No comments. Thank you.
All right. Super. Rez?
Okay. Good evening. And I have one comment. Just a friendly reminder that the electronic waste home collection is coming around the corner. Residents are to submit the request by 6 p.m. on Wednesday, March the 13th, and for scheduling a pickup between March 18th and 20th. So please don't forget to submit your request if you have items for electronic items for pickup. Thank you. That's it.
Thanks. Thanks, Rez. Lisa?
Thank you for that. And no other comments.
Okay. Erica?
I'd like to do a land acknowledgement first. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We'll remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. And besides that, no other comments.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. I don't have much to offer as well, other than I did spend a good hour and a half with third graders a week and a half ago, which was quite fun. I gave a presentation on local government, so they had all your pictures up, and so hopefully they'll come knocking at your door and ask you some questions. No, they couldn't have been more sweet. I mean, they had really, really good questions that they asked. Most importantly, they asked why we did this. So I said, because we want to give back to our community and provide, you know, a variety of our experiences. So they're really interested and kind of exciting. So thanks to Mrs. McColl, Mrs. Briggs, Mrs. McKenna, and Mrs. Biachi. Here I am, Italian. I can't even pronounce that last name. But those are the third grader, fourth grade classes that I presented to. Very nice, like I said. Okay. Other than that, I have nothing more to offer. So we'll go ahead and go on to the consent agenda. If I can get a member of the board to move item 5 through C.
Motion to approve consent agenda items 5A through C.
Second.
Okay. Any comments or questions regarding any of these? We've pretty much talked about most of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Hearing none, I'd ask the board, the clerk to take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, February 12th, 2024. B, administration department report. C, purchase of emergency one cyclone single axle 100-foot Quint aerial apparatus, Fire Services Inc. of St. John, Indiana. $1,681,914. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Okay. So we have two recommendations from our commissions, one from sustainability and the other from traffic and safety, of which that one doesn't need any action, but we'll talk through it. So if I can get a motion to approve item 7A from the Sustainability Commission.
Motion to approve an ordinance establishing restrictions and fees for the village's electric vehicle charging stations.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Okay, so I mean, if there's any questions or comments, is there anything that the staff wants to provide? Seth?
So in the monthly Sustainability Commission meetings, I always include the most recent monthly report for our charging station located just outside on Central. One of the trends that became apparent is the session time in which a car is parked and plugged into the port vastly exceeded the active charging time by about an hour and a half. So cars are remaining parked there after they've fully charged. A significant amount of the time, the ports are blocked, so somebody looking to charge would not have access to them. So in order to create an incentive for people to move their cars after they've received sufficient charge, this establishes a fee. The commission discussed this for a couple months. What they landed on was 2 free hours of charging, which gets about up to 50 miles of charge, and then a $10 fee per hour after that with a cap at $30, which is the equivalent of a parking ticket.
No, I'm just curious. Is this fee sufficient? And I'm not trying to charge people. I mean, if people, $10, I'm assuming some people may not be enough. I don't know.
Yeah, that was one of the things discussed is, you know, what level of fee would be sufficient. There was another nearby community found that charges $20 an hour a lot, charge less than that, but begin to charge immediately, either based on kilowatt or by the hour. Okay. So they're trying to recoup the electrical costs, whereas this, we're just trying to incentivize people to not remain parked there after they've received a sufficient charge. So we'll continue to monitor it.
Okay.
You know, see what the session times and charge times are going forward, and then can adjust then from there.
Part two is, where does this money go to?
We would need to set up a fund. I believe this would go into the parking fund. The charge point, we would need to set it up to connect it to a village account.
But, okay. Yeah.
I just have a quick one. So how are residents notified about the change, or what's the stuff?
Yeah, we will publish this information in the newsletter, social media. Anyone who uses the charging station has to have the ChargePoint app already on their phone. They are notified when they first connect, when the charge takes place, and then they are also sent a push notification when it is close to, I believe, I believe 30 minutes prior to when the fees begin to be assessed.
Is there any, even if it's temporary signage that we can post by the charging station, or is that?
We would need to probably create more signage to specifically display the fee. There is signage simply just saying EV parking only there currently.
Even something that you can like wrap around the pole? Or...
Yeah, I think we can easily accommodate that. Yep.
But you're saying if they open up the app to pay.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, to have the app, you already have to have your payment information in there. So
I would just say, though, that like we are very generous in allowing people to actually charge for free. So I think the app is sufficient, in my humble opinion.
Yep, yes. I have to read. Okay, thank you very much. Okie dokie. So any further comments? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to take the vote on this.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay. So we have 7B, which is the Traffic and Safety Commission recommendations, or what is this? Just us for discussing this?
Sure. So both these recommended changes, one for the Northeast Quadrant and the other for Washington Boulevard, don't make any changes to our village code in terms of restricting, changing any speeds or new stop signs or anything. So they don't require any village ordinance, and the changes can be done within staff spending authority. So, but we wanted to bring it back because it was recommendation by the Traffic and Safety Commission, and just to make sure that the Village Board didn't have any further questions and was fine with staff proceeding to make these changes.
All right. So why don't we go ahead and just move to discuss this? So move to discuss B1 and 2, I assume. It's okay. If I can get a trustee to, and then we'll have someone present the recommendations.
Yep. I could just go into some background. So the Northeast.
We don't need a motion.
We don't.
No, we don't need a motion.
Right. Sorry. My bad.
Okay.
Yep. Go ahead.
This one's easy. So the Northeast corner, back in November, the Village Board had voted to remove the plastic barriers at Clinton and North Avenue and Bonnie Bray and North Avenue. And as part of that motion, the Village Board directed staff to work with Thomas Engineering to collect additional traffic counts and speed counts along Jackson, Monroe, Clinton, Bonnie Bray, and William. In order to see what was going on once those were removed. So Thomas Engineering came out in November, a couple weeks after those were removed, to collect that data. And they put together a report that's part of the packet and made some recommendations about how to address the concerns in the area. What was found was speeding on the 1500 blocks of Monroe, William, and Clinton. And their recommendation, they used the traffic matrix toolbox that's part of the village-wide study that has certain criteria and a scoring system in terms of traffic count, speeding, number of crashes, location in proximity to schools or on churches or other institutions, and adds up to a certain score. And then you take that score and decide what type of measure that the village should take place to try and address that. So all of these at most were considered a level 2. That's up to a level 5 system. It was a pretty modest recommendation. In this case, parking striping was recommended. This is existing parking on Monroe, William, and Clinton, just simply painting the parking stripes. The idea behind that is to at least give the driver a perception of a narrow road, or more striping on the street theoretically will slow down a driver. This won't change any of the existing parking restrictions out there. In fact, it might help kind of show people where to park so they're not as close to the driveways or other things. So there's some additional benefit there. But the true purpose here is to try and use a low cost, low impact change to try and get drivers to slow down on those three streets. A couple other level 2 options included texture pavement or rumble strips. Texture pavement would be what you would see when you're coming into O'Hare Airport, for example, the kind of buzzing to try and get you to slow down. And rumble strips is more like when you go off the highway onto the shoulder and all of a sudden you're not supposed to be there. Those, although they would be effective, would be a nightmare for those living there on the street. So this felt like a good, easy solution, compromise, and the Traffic and Safety Commission felt this was a good step to see how it worked in that area.
Can I ask an associated question? So the permanent structures on Harlem Avenue, what's our timeline on that, please?
So the plans for those right in, right outs at Lemoyne and Greenfield and Harlem are under IDOT review currently. We're expecting to get a response within the next few weeks on that approval from IDOT. And we should have approval of that construction before the Village Board at probably the second meeting in March.
I have a question. Does this striping include parking striping for North Avenue to the first alley as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
And is it going to make, is it going to be striping that's like one long rectangle for the parking, or is it going to be individualized? Like chopped up into like
it should just be long, but I think it will be broken up depending on where there's driveways and the like. And I believe that the striping north of the alley will be different for the pickup zone or the drop near Fresh Time.
Okay.
That will be hatched more like to match what the restrictions are there.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, great. So back to Bob's question. So you believe that we can get this? Yep. Those changes moved along with IDOT in the next.
Yes.
Okay. Any further questions for Matt?
No.
Okay, so it sounds like you don't need any more approval, so there seem minor changes. And glad we have this.
And postcards will be sent out to the 1500 blocks to explain what is happening for the painting. It's not changing any restrictions, so it won't be any change to their operation or use of the street, but just so that they know when the striping comes up. It's not unique in town. There's a couple other locations where we have that, but we'll do that in advance of the striping.
Okay. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward. Okay. Very good. Well, that's good. Thanks, Matt. And thanks to the commission for taking this on. It wasn't easy. So, okay. We have no unfinished business.
There's the Ballard.
The Ballard.
I think you're going to talk about.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, sir. What?
Oh, the speed limit sign. As part of that recommendation, sorry, for the Northeast Quadrant, we realized that there was not a speed limit sign on the 1500 block of Monroe facing southbound, so that will be replaced. It actually may have been done already. So that's an easy thing to address. The other item that the Traffic and Safety Commission has discussed is Washington Boulevard. One of the main focuses of the village-wide traffic study was to address Washington Boulevard. So a speed study was done and found out that the 85th percentile of drivers is going 38 miles an hour down Washington. Speed limit there is 25 miles. So it's a significant trouble spot. We were talking today to staff about how often we see speeding going there because it's a wide open straight corridor. It's easy to speed. So Thomas Engineering provided a lot of alternatives and kind of a comprehensive look at the corridor on how to address it. Their kind of Cadillac version would be similar to what we see along Chicago Avenue with curb extensions, bump outs along the corridor. And they also recommend raised intersections and crosswalks at a couple different locations. The Traffic and Safety Commission wanted to take a kind of piecemeal approach or try and address it as quickly as possible. And what the recommendation is to install bollards at the locations that call for curb extensions in the proposed plan from Thomas Engineering. Now what this would look like is the about 4 foot tall, skinny vertical poles that have reflective tape on them in a formation. Chicago. Exactly on Chicago, but this would not have the curb extension. It would just be anchored into the street in the formation to make it seem like a curb extension was there in order to avoid drivers from using the parking lane. And also to be a visual thing, narrowing of the street to help slow down traffic at the specific intersections. And then our plan would be to do another speed count after these are in to see how effective they are sometime later this year to decide if we want to proceed with budgeting for the curb extensions or other aspects that were tied into their plan. But the Traffic and Safety Commission wanted to at least do the low-hanging fruit to address it as soon as possible.
So the raised pavement or intersection table was discussed, but then said, let's wait.
Correct. Now the Traffic Safety Commission wants to continue discussing this over the next few meetings, but the priority was to get the bollards in for now.
Is there a bike lane on either side of here?
I would just want
the bollards to be mindful of that bike lane. Okay.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
Is there any bike lanes?
They're bike
lanes. Oh.
The benefit here is that the bollards will have some space to drive through as opposed to curb extensions. That's a drawback of those as well. So this should be. I stand corrected.
There is bike lane.
I'm looking
at it. So just as long as they are taking that into account when they're
Yes, we will make sure to consider that when we're placing
them. I like these raised ramps.
So I have two comments. One is I request that the village review all bollards along the streets, including Chicago Avenue. Many of those are like already been run over by cars, quite frankly. So let's put them back up to make sure they're all fully functional. And I think because people do run over bollards, we're going to have to look at a more permanent solution for traffic calming on Washington Boulevard in the near future. Just my point of view. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I think you're right, Lisa, and I think that's what the traffic safety is saying. Let's take it, right? Which I think is a good thing. Okay. I guess nobody else likes those raised.
Oh, and one more thing. I just want to thank the village for working to fix some of the concrete and fencing challenges that exist on Chicago, where cars have already run into those traffic calming devices, which are the bump outs. They're being replaced this spring, so thank you very much for handling that.
Are they too dark? Or?
Yeah.
That's another consideration with the replacing the bollards will be a lot cheaper than the decorative fencing we have, and also the concrete.
It's nice.
That's
on a similar but unrelated matter. Do you know what's going on Madison Street at like Park and Franklin with the island there? Are they taking that out?
There was an accident at that median a couple weeks ago. So we have submitted for IRMA paperwork, IRMA being our insurance, claim to get that fixed. So no, it was a pretty significant accident. Someone was looked like they were aiming for the median.
Trees, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll be trying to get that fixed.
How do we deal with that?
Each year we alternate costs of the maintenance.
Whoops, our year.
I think it is our year right now. We just got a bill for it. So
yeah, that's the key.
Leave that out.
Yeah. We won't put that in.
No.
All right. Yeah. So, everyone okay then? So, give him the go ahead. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Very good stuff. Thank you so much. Okay. So, we have no unfinished business and we have no new business. So, we are going to go into executive session. So, we're going to close the, we'll go right into executive session. So, if I can get a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120-2C2 to discuss collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, and the village board will adjourn after the executive session and will not return to open session.
Second.
Okay, very good.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
President Adusi.
Yes. Okay, just for the Fenwick group. So we've just ended our regular session, just so you know. And then we are going to go into what we call the executive session, which is really only the trustees and I and the our legal team and our staff will stay, and we talk about confidential issues. So we're going to ask you to leave the room. But if you have any questions, feel free to contact us.